I would like to read tonight in the Gospel by Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and verse 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague." Now, chapter 10. Verse 17, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possession." Now, chapter 1. Verse 40. "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, 'If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.' And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, 'I will, be thou clean.' And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed." Now, a final verse in the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20. "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." That's all we'll read. We trust the Lord will help us to preach the gospel from these scriptures that we have read together tonight. I would like to speak tonight on the grand theme of salvation. No greater theme could ever be preached than the theme of God's salvation for a perishing soul. But the thought I want to look at is to think of souls who are within reach of that salvation. and their attitude to the salvation that God has provided. That makes this meeting very solemn. In all likelihood at this time last week, there were those perhaps listening to the gospel who had the offer of salvation, who were within reach of salvation. Tonight they're out of reach. There may be those in this company tonight, and if you are not saved, friend, you are within reach of salvation. But it may be perchance before Sunday night, you could be out of the reach of this salvation. That is, we trust by God's grace that you listen for eternity. Now we read in Mark chapter 5. Here's a woman within reach of salvation. And the lesson we learn from this incident, her responsibility within reach of salvation in order to be saved. In Mark chapter 10, we read of this rich young ruler. He was within reach of salvation. He had the offer of salvation, but he refused it. When we come to chapter 1 of Mark's gospel, we have a leper who came to the Lord Jesus, who said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." We see the response of the Savior to a soul within reach of salvation. He said, "I will. Be thou clean." You may have thoughts about being saved. You may have a desire to know Christ as your Savior. My friend, there's one tonight, and his response would be, he's far more willing to save you than he ever could be. He's far more willing to save sinners than all who are saved in this company tonight could ever be. The Lord Jesus Christ, he said, "I will, be thou clean." But when we come to Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20, very solemn scripture, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and their lament is, "We are not saved." Here we have the remorse and the regret of those who were once within reach of salvation, and now they're completely out of reach. They'll never be saved. One slip tonight, and you not saved, and you enter eternity. My friend, all hope would be gone of you ever getting salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God offers you salvation tonight. It might not be available tomorrow night, as far as you are concerned. We are creatures that take chances. Souls without Christ, they walk along the edge of eternity daily. At any moment, they could cross over. A young man in Tallamagoose, son of Christian parents, listening to the gospel, one day in school at 11 o'clock, they came and they took the pictures of all the boys and girls. He had his picture taken with the rest at 11 o'clock. 12 o'clock when the bell rang, the whole class got up and went out. He sat in his seat. The doctor was called. He just sat there and gazed. The doctor examined him. Found a tumor in the brain. 15 years of age. David Hunt and I preached his funeral in Nova Scotia. Mr. Joyce and Mr. Driver have preached at the graveside in Forto in the Labrador. I remember taking that young man's remains in the coffin right across on the ferries, two ferries, to get to the Labrador for him to be buried. But there he sat in health and strength at 11 o'clock. 12 o'clock, stroke or smitten by that tumor in the brain. I preached to him the second last time he sat in the gospel hall in Taramagush. I don't know whether he got saved or not. But my friend, if he never got God's salvation, now his harvest is past. His summer is ended. And if not saved, what a tragedy. Could I remind you tonight? Your harvest is passing. Your harvest may end tonight, young lady. Where will your soul be? There's a heaven to be gained. There's a hell to be shunned. You and I are traveling tonight. We're on the move. We're traveling through time. Time is a one-way street. We can't retrace. The hours of today, they're gone. And gone forever. And we move on. When we go to an airport, there's two things we're interested in. Either in their arrivals on the screen or the departures. Now you and I, we're going to depart this life. But then we're going to arrive somewhere. Because there is a departure and there is an arrival. In Luke chapter 16, we read of two men. They both departed. Lazarus departed the scene. He died. Carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That is heaven. The rich man died. He went on the other side. Where was his arrival? His arrival was in hell. In love to your soul tonight. Should you cross the borderline? Should you depart? Where would you arrive? Heaven's glory or hell's gloom? One or the other. Within reach of salvation? God desires the salvation of your soul. God wants to save you. You say, well, I want to be saved. How much do you want to be saved? Is it a must you get this matter settled? Must you get saved tonight? They're the kind of people that get saved. I remember asking a young fellow one night, before I was saved myself, we went to night school together. And gospel meetings came to the village where I live. Dad said to me, where are you going? I was getting ready early. I says, I'm going to night school. No, he says, forget about night school. While these meetings are on, I want you to go to the meeting. Well, I was 17 years of age. I was under his roof. And so I obeyed my dad. And I went to the meeting. But I met my chum. I says, I'm not going tonight. He says, where are you going? I said, to a gospel meeting. He said, do you have to go there? Well, I said, my dad said to go, so I'm going. I went to the gospel meeting, and he went to night school. But a few nights later, I said, why don't you come to the meeting some night? He says, I'll go one night, but that's it. So he came that night. That one night, we sat in the back seat. There were two girls that sat in front of us, and they both had nice long hair. He was chewing gum, so he stuck their hair to the back of the seat. He was having fun. But that preacher preached, heaven or hell for eternity. I was listening. He didn't seem to be. But the next night he came. And he started to come with me every night. And he came for about 3 weeks. He missed night school as well. Came to the meeting with me, but we never discussed anything that the preacher said or about the gospel or meetings. But one night he came to me and he asked me a point-blank question. He said, would you like to be saved? Now, I was brought up in a Christian home all my life. I'd have loved to be saved. But here's a fellow, right from the outside, a stranger. Would you like to be saved? I said, I would. Well, he said, so would I. The preacher had to walk 2 miles after he preached to get the bus to go home. He said, would you come with me tonight? Will I have a talk with that preacher? I said, sure. We waited for him outside. The preacher came out and started to walk down the road, the 2 miles, to get the bus. We walked alongside him. That young man began to ask him questions. One of them was, the first one, how does a person know that they're saved? What would you answer to that tonight? There's a whole lot of people in this building say they're saved, and they know it. How do they know? A feeling? Too many feelings. There's only one way a person knows they're saved. I'm saved and I know it, but there's only one way. God says it. I believe it. And that settles it. That's the answer he got. We know by the word of God. That is simply giving God the credit that his word's the truth. Oh, you say the Bible's true, is it? He that believeth on the Son, do you believe in the Son? Yes. Have you got everlasting life? No, you don't believe the Bible. Well, we walked the 2 miles. After the preacher got on the bus, we started to come back home. I pulled out a packet of cigarettes, and I offered him one. He says, look, man, I want to be saved. So did I. Was there a difference? There was a big difference. There could be that difference in this meeting tonight. He wanted to be saved that night. I wanted to be saved. But the language of my heart was like what we sang. Give me just a little longer. Oh, the world seems now so bright. When I feel that I am dying, I'll be saved. But not tonight. We walked home. I smoked the cigarettes all the way. And it was all we talked about was being saved and salvation. And the happiness of those that we knew who were saved. You see, when a person gets saved, they don't lose their happiness. That's when you get it. I came in from work the next night. My mother said to me, did you hear about Victor McWilliams? I said, no. She said he got saved last night. I remember meeting him. First thing he met me with was a Bible. I'd never seen him with a Bible before. He didn't come to a meeting with a Bible, but he had one that night. He had it open at John chapter 5 when he met me. He said, I got saved last night. In my own bedroom, he says, 1 o'clock this morning, reading John chapter 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he said to me, that's the Lord Jesus speaking to me. That was him. He that heareth my word. He said, that's me. I've heard his word. You took me to hear his word. Hath everlasting life. And believeth on him that sent me. He says, I believe God sent his son to die for me in the cross. Do you? He says, look what it says, hath everlasting life. He says, I have it, for God sent it. Now at the top of Legs, the Malone Road, where the preacher went on the bus, he wanted to be saved, I wanted to be saved. What was the difference? He wanted to be saved that night. You want to be saved? When do you want to be saved? Is it tonight? Or would it be the devil's time? When's that? Tomorrow night. How many tomorrow nights? How many times in the past have you had thoughts about your soul? And then you put it off until the next night. Take care, dear soul. Salvation's within your reach tonight. But you could miss it. Here's a woman. It took her 12 years. To learn that she could not cure herself. It took her 12 years to learn that nobody else could cure her. And then when she was getting worse and not getting better, she heard of Jesus. Simple message, Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. She heard, and then she came. She stood behind him in that press. Large company gathered around the Savior. Many were touching him, but nothing was taking place in them. But here's a woman within herself. She says, if I could only touch his clothes, I would be whole. Now, friend, you can't touch his clothes tonight as she did. But you can trust him. She touched. But had she stood there and said, if I could touch his clothes, I would be whole. If she hadn't touched, would she have been healed? No. That's what faith is. That's what trust is. You may know the Lord Jesus Christ has saved others. You may know that he can save you. But if you don't trust him, you're going to miss out. Immediately as she touched, she felt in her body that she was whole of the plague. That is, she knew her disease was gone. But the person that trusts Christ as their Savior, they know they're saved. They know they're heaven born. They know there's been a work of God wrought in their hearts. At least that's what took place in my experience. I never felt saved in my life. I feel good tonight. Why? Because it's well with my soul. I know I'm saved. I know I'll never be in hell. I was once within this reach of salvation. And I put out the empty hand of faith and received Christ as my Savior. That's over 42 years ago. And as time goes on, it's getting sweeter all the time. Within reach of salvation, her responsibility was to touch. Your responsibility is to trust him as your Savior. The leper came to him. He says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. In plain English, if I'm going to be healed, thou art the one who alone is able to heal me. Was the Lord Jesus Christ willing to heal this man? The response of the Savior. He said, I will. Is he willing to save you? My friend, he has died to save you. Christ, his own self, bare our sins in his own body in the tree. Christ, his own self, he bare my sins in his own body in the tree. How do I know? I didn't see him. I wasn't born when he died. I hadn't sinned when he died. How do I know? There's only one way. By the word of God. History will tell you, a man called Jesus died on a cross. But it takes God to tell you, Christ died for our sins. Take in the truth tonight. When Christ died upon Calvary, it was my sins that he died for. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. It's an awful thing to be within reach of salvation. Friend, your harvest is passing. Maybe before this week is out, it will have passed. Where will your soul be for eternity? Get to Christ tonight. Tomorrow night could be too late.